Our gospel reading this morning is going to sound very much like last week's, because it's pretty much the same scene, but in a different version. This is from Luke. Last week we heard from John. We'll talk a little bit about the two. But this is, again, Jesus appearing to his disciples on Easter Sunday morning. While the two men walking to Emmaus were talking about what happened to them on the road, Jesus himself stood among them in the upper room and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. You can see this is pretty much the same story, but if you look at the four Gospels together and the Easter story in those four Gospels, you get four different versions of this account. In fact, in Mark, Mark's Gospel ends at the tomb. In verse 16, where he says, "And they saw the tomb was empty, and they went away in fear, ... That's how it ended. And it wasn't until about 20 years later that someone came up to that scripture and added the last part of chapter 16, which is basically the text that we have here this morning in Luke. But it was not part of the original, which tells us that at the early part of the church, in the very beginning, that's all they had to go on was the empty tomb. But obviously, the Lord became much more real to them and perhaps even an apparition, as we have told here in the gospel, actually took place. That Jesus stood before his disciples in flesh and they recognized him. And to prove it, now, last week we heard from John, and John says that once he did this, they recognized him and they saw his wounds. He breathed into them the Spirit. And he said, "You now have the power to go and to forgive sins. In doing that, you are doing exactly what God would have me do. Go and do as I have done. So must you do for each other." That has been his message all along. And that means, as we said last week, that now we have the power of God with us, that God is abiding within us very clearly, and that our job is to somehow now extend what we have experienced ourselves to the world around us. That's where the gospel lives. That's the good news. That's what's to be preached by our lives. But there were still people who had doubts between Mark's gospel in the year 80 or 60, in John's gospel in the year 100, there were still people trying to figure out what was going on. In Luke's gospel, you have the wonderful journey from Emmaus. You know, the two guys are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're very discouraged and disgusted because Jesus is dead, and their whole hope for the future was lost, and they're bemoaning the whole situation, and they're walking to Emmaus, which is a good walk. And as they're going, they're talking about this whole event. And along comes this person walking with them, and it's Jesus who explains to them exactly what this gospel says. You know what Moses said, you know what the prophet said, you know, what all the writings in the Psalms said about the Messiah, this is what happened, and that's who he was. And as they reached their destination, he was going to travel further, and they said, no, why don't you stay with us because it's late, you know, stay with us tonight, and you can travel tomorrow. So he stayed, and they got at table, and he took bread and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they realized it was Jesus. And they were running back to Jerusalem to the guys who are huddled in the upper room, and that's where today's gospel begins. But the addition of his eating food, very important, because if a person is able to eat, a person is alive, you know? Now, one of my friends is on a feeding tube right now, and we are hoping that somewhere along the line, he is going to be able to eat food. When you visit somebody in the hospital, and I've many times been with people who have been in comas and who come out of comas, and people who have been through traumatic experiences and horribly long surgeries that take days for them to kind of come out of the anesthesia and return to some kind of normalcy, one of the things that you look for is, are they taking anything? Can they drink water? And if they can take water, well, that's a good sign, because at least they can get fluids, and we can't survive without water. And then you look for the day when maybe they can take something more than water and something a little bit mushy maybe, and you know, the kind of food they serve. But that they can eat, because eating is a sign for a sick person that they are in recovery. And that's something we all look for. And so Jesus is very commonly in his own day is standing there saying, you don't believe this, well, give me something to eat and I'll show you. And he eats the fish, and obviously he is alive. He is fully a person. He has a body, and they recognize the wounds, and they say, of course, this is what happened. Then he tells them, this is what it's all about. Now it's your job to go out and preach that God is a forgiving God, and that all of this was part of a whole plan. I hate to say that, because then we get into predestination, but this was part of his vocation. And maybe he knew this long before, maybe he didn't, but certainly, as we said before, he had to know that his time was coming to an end, because he was so angered the world around him, the powers. And so he knew something was going to happen. So he's able to say that. And now that they look back on it, they can say, well, you know, maybe God had a hand in this. Maybe this really is what God had in mind. And so the theology develops that, as Jesus says, I said all along, I'm here to do one thing, to tell you who God is. Now that you know who God is, and that there is not even the power of death overcomes the power of God, therefore you have nothing to fear and nothing to lose. Now go out and tell people about it. And so the Easter message is something I think is lost. It's lost a lot of its oomph, shall we say, power. Because we live in a scientific world. We live in a world that has an awful lot to do with hands-on and science and all those things that we can grab hold of, and facts, although facts are becoming kind of questionable too, but facts and truths about ourselves. And we hold on to these things, and when things become doubtful, it's very hard to turn, perhaps as you and I who are comfortable doing it, turn within and find that God somehow is there. And so the message that we have to preach is a very hard message. It's not easily received, because the only proof that it's true is you and me. Because if it doesn't show in us, then it doesn't exist. And that's the burden. That's the burden of discipleship, that's the bottom line burden of believing in God. That the only way that we can show that this is real is ourselves. And so I think that's why Jesus talks about a journey. And that's why we continue to talk about the importance of being open to possibilities. Because unless you are open to possibilities, all you're left to work with is what you already have and know, and that is going to choke off any possibility of the life of the Spirit. Jesus is going to say in the next verses, go and I'm going to come back, but I'm coming back in the Spirit. And that Spirit will advocate for you, will give you what you need, will empower you to do exactly what I'm asking you to do. And it's only an openness to that Spirit, which is best experienced by opening up to different ideas, different thoughts, different experiences, opening up to the possibility that we have yet to discover and learn all there is to discover and learn. That you and I are as important as the bigwigs in the science community because you and I have the possibility of opening up something about God that can never otherwise be expressed because each of us is unique. We need to cherish that uniqueness, and we need to celebrate that uniqueness in ourselves and in each other. And from there, recognize that the voice of God may be speaking to us every day. The hands of God may be touching us and holding us every day. The mind of God may somehow be influencing us every day. The presence of God, indeed, supports us every day. If we can't see it, then we can't preach it. And if we can't experience it, then I guess God doesn't stand a chance. But it really comes down to us, that beautiful song, may this church be a welcome place. May this church be a welcome place to all things and all people and everything possible. Because then we'll get to know who God is. That's a simple thought for Easter Sunday morning. God bless and amen.